Well, good morning again. So I would encourage you to go ahead and get your bulletins out, grab your outline, as we prepare to go through God's Word and continue our worship together as we would study the Word of God this morning and what He would have to say to us. And what I would like you to do is find your place. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. We won't get all the way through there today, but go ahead and open your Bibles with me to that section of Scripture. We begin to look at the glory of the new covenant. That's what we're going to be looking at for quite a few weeks. I would say this week and probably 3 to 4 more, we're going to be looking at the glory of the new covenant in the Word of God and what God's going to teach us. And as we got a lot of cover, as we're going to talk about today, and we got a lot of some doctrine, some theology that we're going to talk about. So let's just jump in here this morning. As you find your place, what we ended last week was within verse 6. We ended where Paul had said that in our salvation, God has made us adequate. He has made us competent, able to be servants, ministers of the new covenant. That's same what we were talking about today in the service, what Brian was talking about in 2 Peter 1 there, where, you know, by the power of God, he has given to us, we have all things necessary for godliness and life. He's given everything that godly. That's the same thing that we're talking about here, what Paul was talking about, that in our salvation, God has given us everything to make us competent to be servants of the new covenant, ministers of the new covenant. The new life that we have in Christ gave us a new covenant relationship with God that makes us able to live that new life now. That's how we looked at it last week. You can live this life that God has given us to represent Him, to live His way, to follow Him, to be a Christian, to be a believer in Christ, live the way God wants us to live because of the new life that we have in the relationship with God that we have now. Christians have a responsibility, we looked at last week, to live and to proclaim this new life found through faith in Christ. So what Paul ends up saying is that we must be servants of a new covenant, not of the old. Now what Paul goes to is he tells us the glory of the new covenant, verses 6 through 18. This is a fabulous section of Scripture, and as we read this, what I'm going to prompt on your heart and mind, I want you to listen closely as I read this passage, and I want you to hear Paul's contrast of the old covenant law with new covenant life. I'll make some comments as we read and as we go, but the old covenant law, new covenant life. And listen closely how he contrasts the glory of the old covenant fading with the glory of the new covenant brightening, really shining on your face. So we're going to look at that. Listen to verses 6 through 18, and I'll make some comments as we go along. 2 Corinthians 3:6. God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, that's the old covenant, but of the Spirit, that's the new covenant. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, that's the old covenant, in letters engraved on a stone, came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? The new covenant that God has given us, how could it even fail to be of more glory, the life that God has given you, than the glory of God that was in his old covenant with Israel? That's what he's talking about. For if the ministry of condemnation, that's the old covenant law that he gave to Israel, has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. In other words, we don't veil God's glory in our life, in the transformed life that God gives us in our new life. You see his comparison there. Verse 14, but their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, believes in Christ, trusts in him, what God does is he takes the veil, is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that an incredible passage, what he's talking about? He's contrasting the covenants of God that God had made with his people and the covenants of the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the new covenant. The new covenant life that we have. One had glory, the glory that we have now in the new covenant life that God given us is here, doesn't fade away, isn't going anywhere, and actually shines on the face of us as God as we look at the Lord with an unveiled face, seeing the glory of God in all the richness of God. And as we look at that intently and apply that to our life, God is transforming us from glory to glory, from to where we're going to be like Christ. What an incredible passage. This is an important passage in all of our lives. It has very definite and distinctiveness to it. So we're going to go slowly because there's so much here. Now, as we get into this, what we have to cover is what's the old covenant that's fading then. We have to have that on our heart. Many of us might know what the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, God's law, what that was. But then we have to understand, we have to answer the question, what's the new covenant that's here, that's brightening on our face? We have to have a good grab of that. We started last week on talking about that. But we have to have a grip on that so we have that clear in our heart and mind what God is talking about here, because this is so powerful in our life when we're talking about the new covenant life that we have in God. And both of these covenants that we're going to be talking about, both of them are about our relationship with God and living out his truth. Both of them are about our relationship with God and living out his truth. One is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is by works, doing the works of the law. And what is coming into the Corinthian church and what comes into a lot of churches is, yes, Christ, but then you have the works of the law. You got to keep the works of God. You have to do all of the things that God would have you do for you to have the blessings of God, or for the redemption of God, or for the acceptance of God, or for the justification of God, or for the sanctification of God. All of those things, and those are what are coming into Paul's, into the church at Corinth, and Paul is there trying to teach them, to protect them. Don't ever think that your life in a new covenant relationship with God is about a work. It's about faith. And he wants to protect our hearts, that in our heart and mind that we know it's about our faith in God, our faith, our trust in Christ, and our faith to walk boldly and faithfully with the Lord, trusting in him in the midst of everything, not seeing a work to do, seeing a list of things to do, seeing the things, and if I do the things, then God will work. He wants to clear that in our heart and mind. He wants us to understand that clearly, that this is a walk of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not a list to do, not things that are there. Yes, God's word, God's truth, he prompts us in our heart, wants us to live this way, but living that way isn't a work that gets anything done. It's a faith outside, from inside you that lives for the Lord that God is at work at. And our trust and our faith is in him, not in our work. That's what he really is wanting to get to our heart. So we have to look at these two things. Let's begin by answering the question. And it's going to take us a little time here, but that's okay. What is the old covenant? What is the Mosaic covenant? Where it's called God's law, or the law of God, or the Mosaic covenant, the old covenant. What is it? Could you identify it? Could you share with me in a minute, 2 minutes, what the old covenant is? Isn't that much on your heart? Just say, this is what it is. So we're going to look at a lot of verses today. We can't cover them all, but I encourage you to turn there when we need to. First, you know this covenant God made with his people is called an old covenant or a Mosaic covenant. It's where God gave Moses God's law. You guys know that. It starts with the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows that, right? Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, right? It's in our text. He said, we know, you remember that Moses went up the mountain and he's talking to God, and God by the finger of God wrote on two tablets of stone and he gave the Ten Commandments, and Moses come walking down with God's law, and this is how we're going to live, the Ten Commandments. And God was making a covenant with his people that they needed to live by these Ten Commandments. It's in Deuteronomy 5. Don't turn there, because I'll encourage you where to turn. It's the same story in Deuteronomy 5. Listen to verse 1 through 3. Then Moses summoned all of Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I'm speaking to you today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. And the Lord our God has made a covenant with us. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those who are alive here today. God gives the Ten Commandments, makes a covenant with them. If you'll hold to the commandments of God, if you'll live there, I'll be for you. I'll be with you, I'll be for you. A lot, I'm just kind of paraphrasing that. There's so many things that we could say about that. But basically, is that God would be their God. God would be with them. God would be for them. Things would work out. So Moses explains the Ten Commandments following on. But God's not done with the law. The law is way more than the Ten Commandments. The Mosaic Law includes a whole lot more. So God speaks to Moses and gives him some more. And Moses, as the mediator between God and man, he's the one telling the people. That's important to remember. He's the one communicating to people as a mediator. The go-between, they would talk to Moses. Moses talked to God. God talked to Moses. Moses talked to them. He's the mediator of God's truth, God's law, God's word, God's way. So he talks to Moses, and Moses tells them about God's moral law. How you're going to live morally. Big, big expanse to the Ten Commandments. And then God tells Moses about the social law that you're going to have, how you're going to live as a society, socially how you're going to live. Then he tells him about the ceremonial law. This is the Mosaic law, the law of God. And it's the sacrifices, it's the festivals, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the offerings, how their sin was going to be covered. And God says, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll keep every commandment that I'm commanding you here today, he says, it will go with well with you. You will flourish. Your enemies will be defeated. You'll possess the land. Keep the law. God will be for you in every way. That's what is communicated in the Old Testament. Now, from history, what do we know? How good did Israel do that? Not so good, right? No matter what was before them, and God promised before them, and what he was going to promise, what he was going to do, this is the promise of God. It's going to go well for Israel. All of whatever was going to be, whatever was out there before them for their commitment to the Lord, they really failed miserably at keeping the law of God. But no one can. Can you keep the law of God? You guys want to read Deuteronomy 5, 6, 7, and let's see how this week, how you've keep the moral law of God, how that's went. How about Ten Commandments, and then, you know, don't covet anybody's stuff. Don't have any jealousy. Don't have anger in your heart, as Jesus had taught us later what murder really is, and against somebody. See that they weren't going to be able to keep it. And that was really the point. What the law was to show them that they needed a Savior, a Redeemer. It was to point them to faith, to belief in God's provision, not their efforts. That's what it was meant to do. So turn your Bibles to Galatians 3. Let me show you this. We need to look at this so we understand. So we had the law. They were unable to keep it. The old covenant law, when God made a covenant with Israel, with all the moral law, with all the ceremonial law, with all the societal law that they had to keep, and they tried to keep it, and they went through all of that, but it had a point. It had a purpose. It was supposed to point them in a different direction. They weren't supposed to think that by their efforts they were going to be able to keep all of this. It's supposed to move them to see that they needed a rescue, a deliverer. Look at Galatians 3 with me. We'll start in verse 1. We can't cover everything, but we're going to go through most of the text here. But we'll get enough to where we see the point. Look at what Paul says to this church, to the Galatians. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Hey, you saw the crucifixion of Christ. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit of God, the new life that we get through the Spirit of God, new covenant life? That's what we would know. You receive the Spirit when you're saved, born again, reconciled to God. You have this new covenant life that God has for you. Did you get that by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Church, how'd you get it? You do some work? Was there a list? Did you get the list done and then you got faith? Then the Holy Spirit came into your life and God worked in your life? Christians now, believers now, is that how that works? In your relationship with God, is that how that goes? You know, you learn the word of God on Sunday, we're teaching it, we're preaching it, and so you write it down and say, hey, look at the list here, and I'm going to do this list, and then I'm going to have the work of God in my life, the Spirit of God. Or is it by faith in what God says? You see, the teaching was going on in that church, that it was about some sort of work, that you need to do some sort of ceremonial law, but it includes all of them. And he said, who bewitched you? Don't be tricked. And that's what he's talking about. Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Have you begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Hey, are we going to get mature by a work? Help me. We're going to get matured by faith in God and God making us mature, right? We're going to grow in our relationship with God by God at work in us by through our faith. See, the old covenant law wasn't doing that. 4 and 5, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, then so then does he who provides God you with the Spirit of God and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, by keeping the law of God, or by hearing with faith? Well, you answer the question by hearing with faith. That's how he does that. Not by works. By our faith in God, verse 6 through 9, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying all the nations would be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a work that brings us salvation. It's faith in God and his truth and his word as we walk with him, not a work that we do. So look at verse 19. Why the law then? Good question, isn't it? Then why did God put the law to Moses? If it was always an issue of faith, if it was about faith, that you're supposed to have faith, why did God give us a list of a law? Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been made ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, Moses, until the seed, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, till he would come to whom the promise had been made. Did you hear what he said? The promise is that through faith in God and God's provision of Christ, the Messiah coming, same in the Old Testament it is now, we just look back, they look forward, you would be blessed. You would be blessed with salvation, forgiveness of sin, redemption, rescue, justification, made righteous in the sight of God. By faith, not by any work you did. Hey, believing in Jesus Christ is not a work. It is not a work. It's from the heart. It's from your very soul that you set your life in Christ, that you believe in him, trust in him with everything, and surrender your life to him. It's a thing of faith. It's not a work. It's not check it off the list. I believed in Christ, got heaven, let me go live my life. That's a work. By no work will any man be justified. You never can share the gospel that it's a work you do. You just believe and you go. You have to share it in that it's a life you surrender. It's a faith. It's what's inside of you that you set your heart upon and your belief upon, your trust upon for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for the life you now live, and you surrender to it. And it's by faith you go forward in that. By faith, God is the one that justifies, that makes righteous, that brings us to our life. It continues on in our Christianity. It's the same way. Look at verse 21 and 22. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? No, it's not. May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, that's really good, encircle that, impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on the law. But the scripture has shut up everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus might be given to those who believe. You only get life through Christ. It's in no other way. And God imparts life. He gives you everything pertaining to life and godliness through Jesus Christ. It's about faith in him and God's provision, not a work that we do. And so the law came to point us to the Lord, to point us to Christ. Look at verse 24, 25. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We're no longer under the law of God. The law of God pointed us to Christ. We believed in Christ, and now we're not trying to keep the law of God. What we're trying to do is follow the Lord from the Spirit and live for him. And yes, some of the ways that God would lead us would be in his moral law. But I'm not trying to keep his moral law. I'm trying to keep my covenant relationship with God and the new life I have lived out in me. And that's so important. For every believer to know that it's not a law that you're doing or a work that you're doing, it's a relationship, new covenant relationship with God, that the new life you are living by faith in God to change you, to direct you, that you're no longer under the tutor of the law, to keep the law, to try to be justified, to try to be righteous or have righteousness or to be accepted by God. It won't happen. The law is to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ, and through faith in him, we are justified and made righteousness and have the righteousness of Christ. We become a child of God. Romans 5:20-21 says it this way. The law came in so that the transgressions would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. We see sin more. We see our sin. We go to the Lord. We can't atone for our sins. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, the old covenant, as wonderful as the old covenant is and as important as it was in all of the Bible and what it's talking about, just pointed to the Savior. That's what it did. That's what it was about. All of those years with God and with his people in the old covenant law, the Mosaic law, living them out, was just for symbols and shadows of the reality to come. All of those ceremonies, sacrifices, washings are just symbolic of the shadows pointing to the reality of salvation found in Christ alone. We can never make the symbolic a means of salvation. It will never transform a life. It won't. All the sacrifices, all the ceremonies, keeping Jubilee, keeping all of the festivals, doing the incense, offering the things on the altar, slaughtering the lambs, doing all the burnt offerings, trying to keep the law, the moral law of God to exact points and this, and you know what, none of us are going to work on the Sabbath and none of us are going to do that. That never changed a life, never transformed a life, never justified one person. So as New Testament believers, New Covenant life, it's got to be different. We're not trying to live the law of God so God would justify anything. We're living the law of God out of the new life that we have with him. That's what we need to understand, old covenant, new. So in your heart and mind, if you have something there that if I'm living what God wants me to live and I'm living the ways of God in his word, in his truth, yes, they're there, but if I'm living them as a law, as I would do them, the blessings of God happen onto my life, you're living to something that God says never transformed a life and never justified anybody. It's relational. I'm going to get this across today. This is so important. This is what I'm going to focus on and talk about. Yes, it's right to keep the word of God. Yes, it's right, and God wants us to live the word of God and to follow his truth and to live the moral law of God and do everything those, but from the inside, not from an outside of, and not to receive anything. It's because you've already received the blessings of God through justification, righteousness, redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness of sin. You're blessed beyond your socks the first day you got in. And the rest of it is God's sovereignty, God's providence, bringing along the things of his life, bringing about his plan and purpose through your life. So what's the new covenant? If we understand the old, what's the new? That relationship that God made through a covenant relationship, made it through Moses, in the Mosaic covenant, if they would keep the rules, keep the laws, and all that, God would be for them. And that went up and down, and God showed us all of that. So what's the new covenant? It's simply Matthew 26:28. And that's where Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room, holding the cup in his hand, he said this. He said, this is the blood of my covenant. It's his life. He poured out his life. It's the new covenant in my blood poured out for many. For what? What was it for? For forgiveness of sins. The distinctiveness of the new covenant is that it provides through the death of Christ forgiveness of sins. The old covenant never did. It was external works to be accepted momentarily. But it never forgave anybody of sin. So let's understand the new covenant that God made with all who would believe in Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 8. Now, I'm just explaining these two, so they're on our heart, so they're settled there, so as we go through the glory of the new covenant, these things will be in your heart, understanding the old, understanding the new. Hebrews 8, we're going to look at verse 6 and following, so we get a clear understanding of what the new covenant is. I can say it as many times as I can say it, but I want us to go through the Word of God and have some notes and write it down, and so we have it in here, because that's who you are. You have a new covenant relationship with Christ if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that is saved on the planet that has an old covenant relationship with God. People might think they have a relationship with God. Jewish might people think they have they're trying to keep the old covenant, that kind of thing. But the only way you have a relationship with God now is through Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone. And it's a new covenant relationship. So we want to understand what that is. because it's in the scripture and understanding what it is. And like I said, we can't cover everything that's here, but we're going to cover enough to get the depth of it. So look with me here in verse 6 of Hebrews 8, where the writer here who's writing the book of Hebrews is speaking of Christ, who's a better high priest than Aaron. He's a better high priest than the Levitical priesthood. And it says, look at verse 6 and 7. Listen to what he talks about as the new covenant. But now he, Jesus Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he, Jesus Christ, is also the mediator of a better covenant which has been enacted on better promises. Verse 7, for it is, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would not have been an occasion sought for the second. Now let's just stop there. First of all, the new covenant is a better covenant. You might want to write that down. I think I have that in your outline. Yes, it's a better covenant. Why is it a better covenant? I'm so glad it's a better covenant, aren't you? Do you want the covenant of keeping the law? You guys want that one? You want the covenant with God that if you'll do everything right, if you'll do everything correctly, if you'll do all the sacrifices, and man, you start seeing your sin, how many things are we going to burn? I mean, you know, the burnt offerings. How many doves are you going to have hanging around? How much grain are you going to have? You know, the silo over here on our church, and we got doves over here. We got 5,000, and so we come to church. Got 20,000 lambs over here. Maybe that'll take care of this week. I mean, can you imagine trying to live this old covenant that he had with them? Can you imagine? I mean, at some point, don't you think at some point you would say, man, we just can't do enough sacrifices, can't do enough burnt offerings. We just get, oh, man, Lord. That's why he calls it the ministry of condemnation, because it's like, wow, gee, how many more sacrifices am I going to give? Because, man, this is getting bad. And instead of turning to the Lord, some did. The ones that believed in that, we'll see them in heaven. But the ones that said, oh, well, we're just going to keep it all. We're just, you know, we've got a big notebook, and I'm just going to, you know, that kind of thing. And, that, man, I'm so glad it's a better covenant than that one. But why is it a better covenant? We have a better mediator. A mediator, someone who stands between two parties, brings them together. That's what mediator means. The go-between in disputes, conflict. Moses was, Levitical priesthood were, prophets were, but in new covenant relationship, Jesus is our mediator. Isn't that great? Jesus is our mediator. He's the one that's working on the conflict. He's the one that's going in between us. He's the one that in that, and I'll get into that in a minute, but isn't that great? 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, now, right now, in the New Covenant church, in church age, there is only one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. You know there's no other mediator? There's no priest that's a mediator. There's no saint that's a mediator. There's no need for a saint, a prophet, or a priest to go to God. You got full access to God. Reminds me of my aunt. She calls me every now and then, and she talks to me, and she says, well, I pray for some things, and I tell her she can pray for that. She said, well, but can you have a better connection with God? And I say, no, I don't. I got the same one you do through Jesus Christ, and it's full access to Ephesians 2:18. There's nothing hindering me from God, even my sin, because he forgave my sin. And so when I come to him, he might show me my sin, give me repentance, I'll turn, forgive me, Lord, I'll confess my sin, because I know, God, you're faithful to cleanse me of all this stuff in my life. I know that you're faithful, so I can even come then and come to you. There's nothing that hinders it. Can you imagine the old covenant? You had to go to the priest. You had to throw the blood on this mercy seat and go in there. And all of it. You know what? There's no need for anybody else. You and God. Any church, any place that's teaching that you have to have somebody as a mediator between you and God that's not Jesus Christ is not teaching the truth. There's one mediator through man and God. It says it right in 1 Timothy 2:5. It's the whole new covenant relationship with God. It's the whole new covenant relationship with God. The new covenant's here. That's an important aspect in our life. That's what Paul is trying to get across here. People are coming in, oh, well, you got to go talk to that guy to have his access to God and tell him about it, and maybe it'll get worked out. Paul's saying, no, don't do that. We have a better mediator. In your faith in him, in Christ, he gives you full access to God, right? Ephesians 2:8. Listen to the kind of access. Turn your Bibles to page, turn them left one more so it would go right in your Bible to Hebrews 10:19-22. Listen to the kind of access that you have with God in this new covenant. In every time in your life, in everything that's going on in your life, in whatever's happening in your life, this is God for us now in our new covenant life that we have. This is it. This is the way it goes. This is all day long. This is in whatever you're in. This is all the time. You don't have to go do a sacrifice. You don't have to go get something right. You don't have to. This is God and God, what he's brought to our life. Listen to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence in our heart to enter the holy place, go into the holy place of God by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh on the cross, dying on the cross. He inaugurated it. He brought it to us. And since we have such a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a sincere heart and in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Does that sound like, come on in? Doesn't it? That's our relationship with God now. It's not about, let me get some things right. Let me go do. It's about, here I am, Lord. I'm your kid. You know what? That's your fault. You saved me. And here I am, and yes, you need to work in my life. Here I am, sincere, confident. What does it say? In a sincere heart, here I am. In full assurance of my faith, you've cleansed my heart. It's not an evil conscience, but I fall short, Lord. You've washed me. But I'm going to hold fast my confession of hope in you and not waver, for you are faithful. Help me, Lord, with whatever's in my life. That's the relationship we have. That doesn't sound like an old covenant, does it? See, don't let anything in your heart, don't let any deception come, don't let anything say that you can't come to your Lord, to your God, in honesty, and God not work in your life. He's faithful. I'm confused, Lord, I don't know. I'm here. That's what he's going to be. Look what I've done, Lord. I know. That's what God is talking about. We have a better mediator. It has better promises. Look what he says in verse 8. Back to the page over, Hebrews 8. For finding fault with them, God says, Hebrews 8, verse 8, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant. It's here, guys. It's a better covenant because it's from God and it's new. It's from the sovereign hand of God, and he brought it to us, his purpose and plan. It's not new in the order of sequence. It's new as it never existed before. It's new life through Jesus Christ, new in everything that I talked about last week. It's new in everything that I talked about last week. Jesus made everything new. Now, the radiance of God's glory can shine upon our lives. I can't get over that. Everything's new. I fall short. I don't always do what God wants me to do. I get a bad attitude. I think of things wrongly. I have these things, and I go to the Lord, and he helps me, and he guides me, and it's a relationship with him, and the radiance of God can come from our life. It's a new covenant, and he effected it through Jesus Christ. It's new. It's a better covenant with better promises. It wasn't that if you kept them, then the God was for you. It's as you believe and trust in God and his faith, the glory of the Lord shines upon your life, out of your life. That's a better promise, isn't it? Second better promise. Turn it to the back of your outline, number 2. Verse 8 again. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. What he's talking about, so the second point is the new covenant is made with Gentiles in mind. I just put myself, it was made with Ken Rollins in mind. It was made with you in mind and me in mind. He made the covenant with Israel, but he had us in mind. You know what? God has never made a covenant with Gentiles. He didn't make a covenant relationship with Gentiles. He made it with the Israelites. He made it with his people, but with us in mind. We are the ones blessed through the promise of Abraham, Galatians 3, 6 through 8. He made that covenant promise with his people of Abraham and said, I'll bless you by the seed that comes out of you, and I'll bless the people that are there. And he was talking about us. He was talking about the Gentile people. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2. Let's look at this. Because this new covenant relationship that came, this new life, this covenant had us in mind. It had us in mind, to include us in mind. Ephesians 2, 11, and I think verse 12 and following, maybe that's the best place to go. Yeah, let's look at 11 and look at 11 and following. Here's what Paul, how he wrote about it. He said this: therefore, we need to remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, now that's you, right? Formerly Ken, pagan in the flesh, who was called uncircumcision because I hadn't had the circumcision of God. Doesn't mean if I was circumcised, because so circumcision, which performed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12, remember that you at that time were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and a stranger to the covenant promises, having no hope without God in the world. But now Christ came with a new covenant relationship that he brought, that we can have this new covenant life. I added that in there, but that's what we're talking about today. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 6. Specifically, what does that mean, Paul? Chapter 3, verse 6, Ephesians. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promises of Christ Jesus through the gospel. That sounds like he had me and you in mind, doesn't it? In the new covenant that he made with Judah and he made with Israel, he had us in his heart and mind, and he made that covenant that anybody would believe in Christ, trust in Christ, put their faith in him, would have new covenant life. And it meant us, that we are heirs of God, heirs of Christ, heirs of the covenant, heirs of the promises, all of that God had to bring. So it's not only from God and new, and that he included us. Number three, back to Hebrews 8. Number three, it's gracious, not legalistic. Hebrews 8, 9, listen to what it says. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. See, it was a legalistic covenant. It was keep the Mosaic laws, keep the Mosaic rules, keep the law of God. It was keep all the things, keep all the sacrifices and all of that. And he said, I'm not making it like that, this new covenant. I'm not making it like that. They failed to do it. They didn't do it. They couldn't do it, and I really wasn't happy with them to do it. That's the old covenant. The new is not like that, where Israel forfeited its blessing of forgiveness. Do you know that? Israel, when they didn't keep the old covenant law, they forfeited the blessing of forgiveness because they got it wrong. And then God left them and then dealt with them. But as a new covenant promise, the new one is about grace. God will discipline you as a father. God will never leave you for your disobedience. He'll never leave you. You'll never forfeit your blessing of forgiveness in your sin. Isn't that incredible to think about? He'll just discipline you as a loving father, but you'll never forfeit your forgiveness, because it's of grace. It's not of works. It's not of legalistic. If you struggle to live God's way, he guides you as a father. He does not leave you. He keeps cleansing you from sin. It's a gracious covenant, not a legalistic covenant. Number four, it's internal, not external. Look at verse 10. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and they will be my God, and they shall be my people. See, it's not external. Boom, it's right there, you guys. It's permanent, settled, internal relationship with God and his word in your mind and heart, not something written on a stone. That's what he's talking about. The new covenant relationship with God. God came and dwells in you and wrote it right here on you. His ways, his truth, his life. Yes, God's word. He gave to us for us to understand. See, we read the word of God, the Bible, for us to see and understand what God has to say. But he himself is written right in here. It's new covenant life. It's not external. It's internal. It was all external for the old covenant people. It was all about trying to keep those things. Ours is about trying to live the life that's in us. That's what he's talking about. It's a new covenant. See, it's in you, right, Brian? What you were teaching today? By the power of God, he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The thing that he granted to us was himself by the person of the Holy Spirit and us born again, new life, where we love God, love his word, and have a desire to serve God. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. And then he gave us his truth and his word to help guide us by the Spirit on how we would live that out. But if you're not born again, you got nothing pertaining to life and godliness. It's not in you. It's just a work. This is what he's teaching. The new covenant is this. This is powerful. God put a spirit in you to lead you to have this new covenant relationship. So it's a covenant designed by God. It's new with all whom believe in the Lord in their mind and heart, full of grace from a loving Father, written in your mind and heart, and comes in the life that God gives us by His Spirit through His Word. Number five, in understanding the new covenant, it's personal. Look at verse 11. Look at it with me. It's personal. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. It's personal. If you are a believer in Christ, if you trusted in the Lord, you have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know Him. If you don't know Him, you don't have a relationship with Him, you don't have a new covenant life, you're not a believer. It's that simple to walk backwards to. You know Him, like Paul said in Philippians 3, your desire is to know Him more in this new life that we have, to count all things as nothing compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ, that you may be found in Him, having not a righteousness of your own, derived from the law. I'm not trying to have a righteousness of my own by living the law of God, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, Christ's righteousness that He gives me so that I may know Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant life. You have to ask yourself, do you have the new covenant life today? Are you trying to live the old covenant law? Because new covenant life comes right from it's internal and it's personal. You know God. You know Christ. You know Him. He knows you. And the last one, number six, in understanding this, it brings complete forgiveness. Verse 12, Hebrews 8. For I will be merciful for their iniquities, and I remember their sins no more. It's complete forgiveness. That's the new covenant that brings in the new covenant relationship with life. You are completely forgiven. You are in a real personal relationship with the Lord. It's internal, not an external thing. God brought it. It's new. He had you in mind when He made it. And it's new life. It's understanding. That's the new covenant that we have with God. That's the covenant that God made with Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and man, the God-man that would know both sides, Christ. And He gave His life on the cross. So in this covenant, this promise that God made, that if you'll believe in Christ, if you'll trust in Him, this covenant He made is that you will have new life. It'll be personal, internal, everything new, all of that. And I can't cover it all. Why would we ever want to try to live old covenant law? Why would we ever want to get the deception that somebody would come in and teach that you have to keep some sort of rule for God to accept you, or for God to be for you, or for God to bless you, or for God to give you... That makes no sense now, does it? Any of you ever attacked in your heart and mind that if you would just live more correctly, God would bless you more? Any hands here? I'm just by myself. That's old covenant law. You're already blessed with all that God has for you and everything pertaining to life and godliness. Live it out inside you. God will handle the rest. You're not making God bring things about in your life. Parents, no one will be justified by the works of the law. No one. That's not your children. Husbands, wives, no one will be justified by the works of the law. That's not your spouse. Through faith alone. You live out faith in front of your kids. You live out true faith in front of them. God can use that to bring about salvation, which then they're made righteous and justified. You can't live the works of the law in your home. Here's the rules. Here's the way God wants us to live. We live them, and God will be on our side. Yes, God wants us to be faithful. Don't ever get me wrong to say that we're not supposed to follow the Word. And I'm talking about a heart, in our heart and mind. So we got to conclude today. I haven't got to point one, but that's okay. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 6, and let's get to point one, the glory of the new covenant. The glory of the new covenant. It's on your outline there. I got a few minutes here, and let's just point to this because you guys get it. We talked about this week, talked about it last week, and it's been really heavy on my heart, and really God really prompted me and showing me that these things, maybe you already understood these things. Maybe these were already solid in your heart, but we're talking about this family of God, this body of Christ, and God wants this solid in our heart and understanding what old covenant, new covenant life is as we begin to go into the glory of the new covenant. And the first one is in verse 6. the glory of the new covenant gives life. And we've been talking about it for 2 weeks. It gives life. It truly gives life. And he says it this way. Let me read it to you. God, who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's what he's, just tremendous thing that he's saying here. We have to have this set in our heart and mind. We are blessed with the new covenant, a new covenant relationship with God. And it brings new life. And when he says, not of the letter, you see what we're talking about here. It's not of the letter. It's not of keeping the letter of the law. That kills. That brings condemnation. That brings death. You know, in your heart and mind, let's put it this way. If you would share Christ with somebody, and if you would come along them and tell them that they have, if you keep the rules, if you keep the things, if you'll do all the right things, if you'll do all these kind of things, then God will rescue you. God will save you. God will deliver you. You're kind of teaching a form of the law. We don't want to do that. We want to teach it that it's faith in Christ, that it's belief in Christ, and the Spirit comes along in their heart, pierces their heart with the truth, and then by the Spirit, they're brought to new life, and it gives life. The gospel isn't a work to do. It's not, we don't share somebody, well, if you believe in Christ, you go to heaven, you get all the promises of God, you got to trust in Him, and that looks like this. It's appealing to the heart and mind, letting God work by the Spirit, that they have to surrender. Tom, isn't that a good word? Because no one's saved by thinking in their mind, okay, as a work, I'm going to believe in Jesus. Now, God's in charge of all that, but He never tells us to teach it that way. It's about putting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about asking each buddy in your family, do you really trust in the Lord? I mean, I've used the illustration before, but I want you to use this because this is good in your life. You might just bring out a chair when you're talking to your son or daughter and they're struggling with, if they do, say, have you put your life in Christ? Have you sat in and said, this is my life. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's faith. Faith to sit, to dwell, to lay your life down in Him and believe in Him and trust Him for everything. Because until you do, really, you haven't been rescued. Because the faith you have is in you or your efforts or in what you understand about God and His Word and keeping the works of it to have what you want. How many of our children have that on their heart? The grown ones. How many of us have that on our heart sometimes? And we don't want to be that way. Paul is protecting us from that being in our heart. And then it's the other one in us, in our life, in our Christian life, teaching that the letter's the way. The letter kills. It has no life. And I'll illustrate it this way, and we'll close with this. We'll conclude the message with this. You guys remember Ephesians 5, 25 through 29? What's it talk about, guys? Husbands, right? All right, so husbands, listen up. Okay, we'll use the illustration. Here's husbands, listen up. Here it is. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Sanctify her, cleanse her by the washing of the water of the Word. Nourish her and cherish her, Ephesians 5 and following, right? God's Word to us and how we're to care for our wives. Husbands, now if you approach that as a letter of the law to keep, oh, I got to learn how to love my wife. I want to love my wife. Let me get a list. It's on my refrigerator. Here it is. I'm going to nourish her. I'm going to nourish her. I gave her a bag of seeds. I'm going to cherish her, you know. I picked up my laundry. You know, I'm going to love her. I'm going to love her, man. You know, I was running, chasing her all around the room every day. That was my love for her. And I'm going to sanctify her, wash her with the water of the Word. You know, I read a scripture this morning. And if you run it down like a list on the, you're going to be a husband, death. That's what God says right here in this verse. You do the law of the letter, it's death. But if you take the word of God that says, cherish your wife, nourish her, love her like Christ loved the church, lay your life down for her, and wash her with the water of the Word, and you go to the Lord, that the Word of God, the truth of God, points you to God, to Christ, to your Savior, and you say, Lord, help me to be how you want me to be as a husband to my wife. I want to reflect you. I want to serve you. I want to be what you want me to be to my wife. You know, I'll give you one word. It's called this, life. That's what God's talking about in the new covenant, the old covenant. If you go to Him and you say, I want to be what you want me to be, Lord, I recognize some places, man, I've never washed her ever with the Word. You know, I haven't. you know, we might be studying in church and what it really looks like to love your wife, and I've really never loved her that way, Lord. Help me, guide me, lead me as my Lord and Savior to love my wife the way you've asked me to love me. That gives life. That's what God wants us to get. That's what we want to understand today. Because it's about a new covenant relationship with him. It's not about a set of rules. Yes, the rules are good. Yes, they're right. Yes, they're moral. Yes, they're justified. Yes, they're righteous. Yes, they are those things. God wants us to live the moral law of God. Yes, he does. But he wants us to live it out of a relationship with him, not a list of rules. Because if in your heart you're just trying to keep these things, there's no life in it. Give me an amen on that one. And if you are living it out of a relationship with God, you know life is there, even if you fall short. Even if you fall short, because it's God, it's not you. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word to us today, this morning, and ministering to our hearts. Lord, everyone in the room has lived the law. Some place or another in their life, there's none of us that are innocent of that. Where we had that thought on our mind or this thought in our heart. And you know what? The truth of it is the enemy has come and tried to deceive us with people preaching and teaching the law of God as the way to righteousness, as the way to blessings of God. We don't want to be shaken, Lord, from the life of simply devotion to Christ. We want to live in your truth. We want to live the way you want us to live. Not live in the way you want us to live to receive, but living in the way with you in the way we should live to give. You're so patient with us and long-suffering and enduring because you're God and you love us in that manner. So we thank you and praise you for that. I can't get over the song today. Praise to his glorious grace, to his glorious power. To you be all glory. To you. Man, nobody else deserves it but you, Lord. We thank you for this day in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed.